reception last year to Christmas do with people from her work, and they're all anticipating a person like me who's an ordained person, a reverend, coming along to the Christmas party. So they had all different views on it. So I walked in there and I was introduced to someone. They go, "Gosh, I thought you'd be a lot taller than that." So here I am, that's how tall I am. I was very encouraged this morning when Steve brought that verse out of Song of Songs 2:11, I believe it is. It's about the new season, the season when the winter is gone and the flowers appear on the earth and the sound of singing. And yesterday afternoon, I was out wandering, as I do, as I'm thinking about what the Lord's saying, and I went up to the Botanic Gardens. And it was in the evening, it was probably about 4 o'clock, which is the evening for me, and the sun was beginning to come down, and it, you know, that beautiful autumnal, that beautiful sun as it begins to become very intense. And you could see at times the sun was driving out the darkness. And as I was walking along these different paths, I began to see just the first appearance of the new flowers. And in some of the beds I looked, you couldn't see anything. But the one thing I know about planting is that when the season begins to change, even if you can't see what's going on, underneath the surface, something is happening. And I believe the Lord is leading us in, not just because it's January, because January quite often we can say that's a new season, but I believe the new season's on its way. It's a season of fruit. It's a season where the small shoots will become beautiful. It's where the things that are invisible, God is doing it. It will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. So let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we just pray right now that you would anoint this word. I pray you bring life to it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that resonates from your truth. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be a people to serve you and to be examples and to be your witnesses within our communities, in our work, in our home, in our places of influence. And I just pray today, Lord, that you would anoint us afresh, you'll sharpen us up, and you'll motivate us with your power in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What I thought, it's always a good thing in the beginning of the year to reflect a little bit about where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. And I think so often we forget that way. I forget anyway, and we forget, you know, what God said, what God's done, what God is. Dun, dun, dun. Can you hear me echoing? Is that 1, 2, 2, 2? Anyway, I'll use the hand mic if we continue with that for too long. But it's always a good thing to remind ourselves of what the Lord has said. We're continually reminded in the God's Word, the importance of reminding ourselves of God's Word. And the things I'm going to look at this morning are 4 things, really. Is that God's invitation to the mountain, God is inviting his people to pray. Secondly, the promise of God's presence, the promise that God is with us. And thirdly, the response to that is that we become God present in our community, in our work, in our home, and in our family. And so the first thing that I remember sharing with us a few months ago was God's invitation to the mountain. It says this out of Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." And the call is, as it was then, is the invitation to the mountain of the Lord. It's the invitation to encounter the living God. And it's in that place that God teaches us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And so over these last few weeks, we've been having the Hot House, which has been on a Monday night, where together we're learning to hear what God has to say. We're also learning how to hear God. And none of us are great at it, but we're learning together. So it's a place where anyone can turn up. Anyone can be part of it. Anyone can learn to pray. Because none of us have got it all. We're all learning, but together we hear better. And so God is calling us to the mountain so that we may teach, that they can teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. It says this in Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. The call is that the Lord will teach us his ways, but they are unfamiliar ways. Why is that? Well, they're God's ways. God's ways, not our ways. As high as the heavens above the earth, so are God's ways above ours. David cried out to God as he does, and so we should, in the psalm saying this: Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. And so David's cry to God is, Lord, teach me your ways so that I can walk in your ways. If you turn with me to Exodus 33, I'm just going to fly through some of these. A lot of it will be like a snapshot of some of the text. And so Moses' prayer in Exodus 33 was this: If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. And so Moses was crying out to the Lord for God to be with him. And obviously Moses responded to God's call as God leads Moses and the people. But his cry out to God is, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people, from all the others on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my presence. The Lord is your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And so Moses was a man, obviously, prayed to God. He was a man who spent many times up the mountain. But he also was a man who sought God's presence. He asked the Lord, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you. And the Lord's reply was this: my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses wanted to know that God was pleased with him. And also the fact that God's presence distinguishes us from other people. And I think this is one of the things that we need more than anything else, is as we're praying for God to come in his presence. Because when God comes, it encourages us, doesn't it, that God is with us. When God comes, he reveals his nature, his person to us. When God comes, he reveals his plans. And when God comes by his presence, he enables God's people to be God present. So we need his presence, don't we, like nothing else. And so that's why I'm calling us again to pray, to seek God's presence, so that we may know him more, we may know his nature, we may know his plans, and then for us to be God present in our community, in our work, in our home, whatever our place of influence is, that is the place where we are to be God present, because we are to point people to the glory of the Lord. And so Moses was a man of prayer, a man of presence, and a man of promise. God said to him, Moses, I wanted you to lead these people into the promised land. And as I said, we're doing a bit of a whirlwind tour, so if you turn with me to Numbers 13... And I'm making a couple of points here rather than going through the whole text.
for Moses, he said on verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving you to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So as the Lord commanded, Moses sent them out from there. All of them were leaders of the Israelites, and he names a whole load of them. And then verse 21, so they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as the Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshar and Tamar and the descendants of Anak lived. And then it goes on to say, when they reached the valley Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off from there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community of Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses an account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. And then it goes on to say, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up said, we can't attack these people, they're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim. These are the descendants of Anak, who come from the Nephites, I think it is, Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. And so Moses sends a contingent out towards the Canaan, which is the promised land, the land full of milk and honey. And two contradictory reports come back from them as they're sent out to the land. One sees the land as a land of fruit. One bunch of people sees the fruit. They see the big grapes, the figs, the abundance of provision. And the other people see a land full of giants. We can't go in there. The giants are too big. We can't go into that land because look how big they are. We've heard of their fame. And see, how we see the land has an impact on how we respond to God's promises. Those who saw the giants had forgotten that God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt. They'd been released by a whole nation, were released from bondage and released into the promises, into the desert, through the Red Sea, into the place where God was leading them into the promises. And so God's history, God's name, God's faithfulness in their history and in our history is that he delivers his people. That's what God does. But they missed it. They didn't see the fruit. They saw the problem. They didn't see the opportunity. They saw, again, the problem. And you see, God wants us to take the land. It's a land full of fruit. It's a land full of milk and honey. And in our eyes, we all see giants. But God is far bigger than giants. Because he delivered a nation, how much more will he deliver his people? And so Moses was a man of prayer, presence, promise, but he did not obey God at the last point. And what I want to say there is this, is so often we like the prayer, we like the presence, we like the promise, but we don't like stepping out and doing what God has called us to do. Do you see? We love the conferences on hearing God's voice. We love the conferences on prayer. We love the things that, you know, we hear about reading about how we do this and how we do that and how we do this and how we do that. Prayer, presence, and promises are wonderful, but we've got to do it. And Moses didn't. And he was a great man. But he did not fulfill the promise because he was scared of the giants scared about what people had to say, and never walked into the land which could have been his. And so let's turn to Joshua, who becomes the man Joshua was a man of prayer like Moses. You see him in many times. He was always the one left behind in the tent of meeting. Joshua, who was one who had shadowed Moses over his period of time and knew what it meant to be in God's presence. He knew what God had said to Moses, so he knew his promises. But the difference was that Moses was ready to take the land. And so in Joshua 1 it says this: "Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am going to give you." And I love that. Isn't that great? He knew that, get ready, I'm going to give you this land. One of the interesting things here, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, basically, get ready. So when the old leader dies, the new leader comes in. And the new leader is going to take the land. Joshua is going to take the land. And God says this to Moses, but it's also a reflection of what he's saying to Joshua. He says this: "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then along that, he repeats that motif of, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because to do the things of God, you have to be strong and courageous. Because we're only flipping human, aren't we? I'm only human. You're only human. We're all quite scared quite often, aren't we? We all don't think we can do it. But God's word says we can. And so it says this: "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." And so we've got to be people, men and women of the word. We've got to read what God has to say. We've got to meditate on it. It's got to become part of us. For when God calls us, we need to know what his ways are. We need to have with confidence what he's calling us to do. And in the same way as Moses, he sent out a spy. Instead of complaining about the land being full of giants, the final conclusion was this: "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And so in this story, as they sent out the spies, when they met up with Rahab and went into Jericho, they just heard that God had already gone ahead to prepare the way for the people to take the land. And so if you turn with me to chapter 3, we'll just quickly fly through this. It says this: "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you have to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never walked this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And so the beginning of the story is early in the morning. They've been told it's time to move out. It's time to go towards the river. This is time to go towards the place which opened up the door towards the promised land. So orders were given towards the people. It says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, who are Levites, etc., etc., you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before." And this, for me, is one of the crucial parts of God moving and God moving in his way, is that he says, move out from your positions. says this, I'll read it again, it says, you are to move out from your positions and follow. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. And you see, sometimes we say, well, God's not, I've been praying for hours and weeks, and I've been in God's presence, and I know the promises, but nothing's happening. But sometimes you've got to do something. So what did he say? He says, you are to move out from your positions. So what are your positions? What are my positions? What are the things that stop us moving out? He says, then you will know which way to go. He says, as you step out, the Lord directs us and leads us and guides us. And we know where to go. But if we stay still, prayer, presence, promise, which is all very good, but we've got to step out. Then he will show us which way to go. And of course he does. He tells them to keep a good distance away from the ark. And he says to the people to consecrate themselves, which basically means is to set yourself apart, be prepared to do what God has called you to do. It's kind of that sense of getting your life right with God. It's, you know, making yourself before the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, I want to be ready for you to use me. And then Joshua told the people, after consecrating yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. Isn't that great? The Lord wants to do amazing things. But we've got to step out from our positions. We've got to let the Lord guide us, and we've got to be obedient to what God has asked each one of us to do. And so Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of Covenant and pass on ahead. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exhort you, etc., etc., so that people knew who's the leader. Then he goes, tell the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, etc., etc., etc. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flow downstream, will be cut off and stand up in the heap. So what I'm saying here is that God told the Levites, the priests, with the Ark to go towards the water, and when they touched the water, God was going to open the water and provide a way through. But before they do that, Joshua reminds them of God's word. To remember what God has said, to remember what God is going to fulfill, because we need to continually know God's word, because that word is secure and certain. And so the people are ready. We've got the guys with the ark walking towards the water. We've got the nation of Israel behind them. The guys touch the water, and poof, there's a massive, God provides a way through the water into the promised land. But what is amazing for me in this story, as well as it must be quite extraordinary seeing water pop up like that from side to side, is this. Now the Jordan is at its flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So what happened was the time God asked the people to move was when the river was at its deepest. It's when it was its widest. It's at the time when the people say to you, you can't do that, the river's too wide and it's too deep. The giants in the land. It's too cold. That is the time when God moves, because it's to his glory. And I believe that the Lord is giving us the land. I believe the land is not just Dublin 8, just the areas around here in which the church is, because we are an eclectic mix of people from many, many places. But God wants to take the land in our workplaces, in our homes, in our communities, in our places of influence. And I believe God is giving us a window of opportunity.
And when we're praying on Monday, there's a real urgency. There's a real sense of God wanting us to take hold of what he's called us to do. God wants us to be a people of prayer, a people of presence, a people of promise. But he wants us to take the land. He wants us to be God present in our sphere of influence. And the call is to step out from our positions, for we have not walked this way before. And I believe that's a call in all of our lives. When Kath and I got invited to come here to Ireland from England, I had no idea what was going to happen. But we just did it. And I know so many things in my life, is that as you step out, you haven't a clue what's around the corner. The unfamiliar paths, the unfamiliar ways. You haven't a clue. But he has. And it's to his glory that we're obedient to his call. And I'll tell you, man, we'll have such great stories on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. We'll have Friday off and Saturdays. God's call is to step out from our positions and to do what God has called us to do. And for each one of us, that is different. And so I don't want to put a weight on everybody, that everybody's called here and everybody's called there. No, everybody's called to do something uniquely in the place that God has called you to be. And the power of God's presence has a wonderful way of transforming community. And on the 13th of December, I mentioned this before, but the only reason I'm mentioning it is because it's an encouragement, not just because of who came, but because of what the Lord spoke to me through it. On 13th of December, we've been doing a number of things with Dublin Community, the Dublin City Council, and they had just had some flats renovated within the community, and Mary McAleese, the President of Ireland, was coming along to open them. And the council asked us whether we would host the President, and for her just to be able to use this facility and just to be able to have some coffee and tea, etc., etc. So on the 13th of December, she came here and I welcomed her into the church. And I took her through these doors here and I began to explain the vision of the church, that we wanted those on the outside looking in to become those on the inside looking out. We want to be a church that related to the community. We want to be a church that, by the love of Christ, we want to transform the community. And I've had the opportunity just to share with her, what I really believe God's calling us to do. And then she got and stood exactly where I'm standing here now. And it's quite bizarre because, you know, when you pray, you never quite know who's going to turn up there. So we had the President standing here. And one of the interesting things she said was, before she was made President, she used to drive in to the centre of town to work, as most people would do. And when she used to drive past this church, St. Catherine, she used to always know that this church had fallen down, it had been in decline. And when she looked at the church, she said, that is a terrible thing, because it reflects the condition of the community. That when a church declines, the spiritual climate of an area has declined. But she said, it was amazing, she said she walked into the building, she said she felt so welcome. So much light and so much warmth. And she said she could feel this place now was a presence within the community. And I think that's encouraging. I think, you know, it's not just us as a building, but it's us as a people. That we are to be God present within our area of influence. We are to be that light, that hope, that good news to those around us. And that's why this... I'm going to conclude this talk by just inviting a couple of people up who are a God present within our community. And what I want to do over the next few months is I want to broaden our understanding of what it means to serve God in our community, because I want to know what people are doing in their businesses. How can we pray for you when you're making difficult decisions? How can we pray for you when your children are keeping you up all night? How can we support you? How can we get alongside you? So everyone will have a different story. But my heart is that we understand what our community is saying and how we can stand with each other. And but the reason I've asked, I'm going to ask Andrew, who's been for many years, has been leading a team into Arbor Prison, which is just over that way,
And faithfully, a team of them go every single Sunday, Christmas Day, rain or shine. And they are in that prison, sharing with people about the love of Jesus. And we had a wonderful carol service up there a few weeks ago. And we had a wonderful time just hanging out with the prisoners and just telling them about the good news of Jesus. And I just want to invite him up just to maybe just share a little bit about that and how we can support him and the team there. And also, how can we get involved? Because I'm the chaplain there now, which is, I love visiting the prison. Some people said I should be in it, but it's an amazing opportunity. So, shall I give you this? 1, 2, 2, 2. So, Andrew, would you like to just share about what you do, and just share maybe whatever is on your heart, and then we can.
I suppose John's mentioned the carol service, but we're in every Sunday morning. It's generally a small group environment, and it's generally people who come along who are very, very honest. They're in there. They tend to know they've got problems. That's why they're there. But also, they want to get to know God. I would say, in the last 8 months, in that group, we have had at least 3 people who have come into the group when they haven't known God. One of them's come out, one of them effectively said a couple of weeks ago, I came to the group because I got dragged along. Someone told me we had a need of musicians. So I swore that I'd only come the once. He hasn't stopped coming since. And of all the things in the prison, he said, it's the one thing that has really led to change, led to him finding Christ. Yep, it's a small group environment, a bit like a house group. It does mean having some regular commitment to going in on a Sunday morning. It means dealing with people who will vary from being very difficult to very, very easy, while just being conscious of who they are. But it's an exciting group. We also play football in there, and we have a good time with them. And yes, there are wonderful events like the carol service, which was done with the Catholic chaplain. This year about 40 people attended, previous year about 60. But it was just a chance to share with them a celebration of Christmas, of Christ coming, and Christ giving us new life. So I suppose if you've got questions about it, if you're interested in being involved, just come up and talk to me about it, or after the service at the back.
We're going to pray for you in a minute, but just I just want to say, as I said earlier, but it's amazing how these guys week in, week out, and it's when you go into the prisons, you can just see the relationships they've built. Because when I walk in there, Andrew introduced me to people, and I've got such favour with the Catholic chaplain and with the people there, just because of the wonderful work they've done there. So that's just been God present. It's taking what we believe in. It's bringing the good news into the prison, the good news of Jesus. And I remember the carol service preaching on the thing of Isaiah 51 about the God, to set the captives free, and the good news of God to people who are in prison and to those who are poor. So we'll pray for you in a minute, Andrew. And the other person is, we're going to have, Emma's going to share about grandmas tonight. And is Graham here at all? Graham Jones? No, he's not here tonight. But he's running a rugby club in the community at the moment with the young lads who just from the flats, and they're meeting up each week to train and be part of the local rugby team. So they're having a great time, and they won the other week. So what we're going to do is, as we're developing our website, we're going to have the rugby scores up so we can follow the team. And at the moment it's non-contact, but Graham says you wouldn't believe it sometimes. So he is being part of that God present within the community. So now I want to invite Paddy, who runs Kids Club. Many of you are familiar with what he does, but it's always good to hear what Paddy's up to. And we'll also bring, it'll be great to have the team up who are part of Kids Club so that we can pray for them as they start a new season. So over to you, Paddy.
Thanks. Just a couple of things. I want to talk about a couple of things that have happened last year and tell you about a couple of things that we're planning for this year. I was really encouraged by that gentleman who came up and sang out that Song of Songs thing. It's not easy, I know, to come up here and speak or sing. So thank you. I was really encouraged by, if I can find it now, he said, "Rise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in the land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." And when that arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, it's like an invitation for the church to join in with what Kids Club is doing, what Andrew's doing, what Graham is doing, what Emma is doing, all of these wonderful things that are happening in the church. I feel that is an invitation to each one of you to rise, my darling, come, be part of this, you know. One bit that made me cry was, you know, the fig tree forms its early fruit. And Sala and Helen Burke is just, last year they had been meeting on a Friday night with some of the junior leader girls that have been coming up through Kids Club. Been part of Kids Club for a few years, and the girls wanted to do something on a Friday night with the junior leaders who are coming here to help out in the club now on a Saturday. They want to have something special for them. So they have been meeting one Friday a month, and amazing things have been happening at that. It's been so encouraging for me to see these girls really grasp what they've learnt in Kids Club over the years and put it into practice, and you know, they're learning about what it means to live for God. What does that practically mean? And I have a text here, but I'm not going to pull it out now. But you know, they came up with 7 ways that they can live for God. One of them was go to church, which I thought was amazing. Another was, you know, don't fight, live for God, pray, believe that there's one powerful God. All of these things these girls are coming up with by themselves because they've been coming to Kids Club and they've been input into. And hopefully, my prayer is that that's going to become a weekly thing. That's going to become a home group here in the church, and that'll be part of that. I've just got to figure out how I'm going to get the lads involved in a home group. But these are exciting things. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. That's a beautiful thing that is happening in this church. You know, the girls in this community are catching what it is to know God, to know that God loves them. And, you know, a lot of the kids, they've been coming to Kids Club for years, and they're certain now that no matter what they do, God will love them. You know, no matter what, how bold they are, whatever happens at home or whatever happens, that God loves them no matter what. And that's such a vital thing. It's the first most important thing in the world we teach them, that God loves me. So a couple of things that happened last year was Rob Jones came to me and he said, "My pastor wants to serve you." And I went, "Great." And he said, "A couple of Thursdays, we want to give you a couple of Thursday nights." And I went, "Cool, what are we going to do with 15 people or 20 people for 2 Thursday nights?" And he said, "Well, maybe we could do a prayer walk around the community." And I went, "Okay, maybe that'll be good." And so they came, the about 15 people came, and we did a prayer walk around Teresa's Gardens and around Chamber and Weaver and then down to Oliver Bond here. And to be honest, I was a bit nervous about it. I thought, whoa, what's going to happen? But actually, it was such a positive experience. We had one dad who came up to us and he said, "You know, thank you so much for all you do with Kids Club and all you do in this community." He said, "Thank you, because," he said, "my kid wakes up on Saturday mornings now, and he said, it's like Christmas for her, but it's not actually Christmas. It's like Christmas morning she's waking up." And that just really spoke deeply to me that, you know, these kids are waking up excited about Kids Club on a Saturday morning. And that's not blowing our own trumpet. That's just, I wanted to express to you that we have a lot of favor in this community. This community really appreciate what we are doing in Kids Club and the party in the park and all of the mum's night out was another thing. That was the following month. We did a mum's night out. We had 90 mums from the church here and we had lots of the Kids Club team involved in that and lots of the pastor came and served on that. And those were two really positive experiences. And that's what John's talking about. He's talking about the fruit, not the giants. Because to be honest, I was a bit afraid when we went out, but it's a land of fruit and it's a land of favour. Dublin City Council can't do enough for us in this community. They really want to support us in all that we do. When the president was here that day, she was talking. A guy from Dublin City Council I've never met before came up to me and said, "You know, there's trouble in one of the flat complexes down the road. Would you be able to help out with that?" And another time, I was ringing around looking for a minibus to bring a bunch of the kids off to the cinema. And a lady who works down at Michael Mallon House down in Vicar Street, behind Vicar Street here, said, when I told her about the Kids Club, she said, "Why aren't our kids going to your club?" I was like, "Well, I don't know. We haven't got the people to go and visit, you know. We can only do what we can do." But so we have a lot of favour in the community and you know, people think what we're doing is great. And when the pastor went out and went on that prayer walk, I'm sure that they were, you know, they were pleasantly surprised. So so there's lots of good stuff happening. In the year to come, one of the things I want to do is maybe do an assembly in a local school, do it like a mini kids club in a local school, like an assembly where we'd have a song, we'd have a game, and then we'd do a teaching, small teaching. And hopefully that's going to open up and we'll be able to do that. More things like the Mum's Night Out. Becky from the Esther group came up to me and said, "Well, could we do a coffee morning? Could we invite all the mums and paint their nails and do the eyebrows?" And about 30 or 40 mums came to that. And yeah, it's. I'm really excited about the year ahead. I'm really excited. And I just want to invite you, arise, come my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. So,
thank you. Thank you, Paddy. So we're going to pray for these guys in a minute. And it's just to remind us that that God wants to use us in our particular situation. But I think also over this year it would be great to get some of the pastors just to come and experience what it's like. And it is like stepping out into a new environment. It's a challenging environment because for us, for many of us, it's an unfamiliar place. But it's a place of power. It's a place of God's love. It's a place that we're called to step into. And it's often when we step into those places, we actually realise God's heart. You get your heart when you stand next to someone who's in need. You don't get it by sitting in a warm church. We might do. But I know that in my limited experience of it, when I've been praying for someone, it blows me away. It just does. It's like, wow, I can see that God loves that person. But then you also know that God loves you. It's an amazing thing. And so what we want to do is really gear the home groups so they're actually, they have a, you know, that they have a reason to exist, not just to be discipled. The thing the Lord spoke to me is that the call of this church is to worship God with everything we've had, to reach the lost, and on the way to the lost, get discipled. So as we get lost, the Lord will heal us. As we start praying for the people, the Lord will start dealing with things in our lives that are painful. Because we've got to stop looking at ourselves all the time. Poor old me. Oh no, I'm not getting enough prayer, I'm not getting enough this. You start praying for someone who's a lot worse than you, you soon get better. So the call is get up your mat and walk. So now let's invite up here now, let's invite those from who are Kids Club, those who are in the prison ministry, Hendrik as well from Step Up, which we'll have a chat about that tonight, so it'll be great for you to share about that tonight. So do you want to come forward? Any of you who would like to be part of this, but you think, my gosh, there's giants in the land, well, come and join the fruitful. Because we want people just to, you know, even if it's, you know, just to try. The things I found in my life, when I've tried them, I begin to get, the Lord helps me with them. and I become. Is there any more people who would like to be prayed for, who would like to be part of serving this? And so can we have a couple of people just to put, you know, just to pray for them, and I'll just. So Lord Jesus, we just want to. We just invite your presence now, Lord, upon these, Lord. I thank you that they're the first of many, the first among many, Lord. We want to ask you now not only to use these, Lord, but to release your people, Lord. Release each one of us now. And so, Lord Jesus, we just pray for your anointing to come afresh, Lord. We can't do this without your anointing. It's impossible. But just release your anointing, Lord, to be your light in the community, Lord. To be your light, to be your good news. And Lord, I just pray for great encouragement upon these people. Let it come, Lord, your encouragement. And any discouragement, I just pray now that your joy and hope will fill that space now, Lord. Your promises are true, your word is true. We believe in your word, we believe what it says, and we want to do what it says. And we want to stand with you, we want to walk into the community with you as well. And if anyone's got a word of encouragement, of something that is to build one up, someone who's a member of the congregation, and maybe feel the Lord speaking, would you like to come up here and just to pray that word or to speak that word? Because it's always good to encourage our brothers and sisters. So if there's anyone there who may have a word.
Thank you, Lord, that you are Alpha and Omega, you are beginning and end. Thank you, Lord, that all the people here who have left families, homes, countries to serve you can trust on the fact that you hold things together and there's a beginning on their lives for the Lord's work, but there's also an end. It's all coming together. In Jesus' name.
The word that's on my mind is give, and it will be given on to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with it an image of just you taking the morsel, like when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. Yeah. That as you take the morsel that you have, and you give that, you will find that your basket is full. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and you will not run dry.
So Lord, we just pray now for them. We just pray that you provide everything they need. We just pray for great encouragement, great support. We thank you, Lord, these are the first of many. And Lord, we just pray that we will have, there'll be more people standing than sitting, Lord, in the months to come, Lord. And we just pray that you would lead us from the place of prayer, presence, promise, into the present, to be your presence within the place that you've called us to serve. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Just really appreciate all the great work. Amazing. So before we have coffee and tea and introduce ourselves, shall we just stand? I mean, I'm just going to ask, it's just going to be standing before the Lord. So let's just all stand where we are. And I'm just going to ask the Lord just to speak to each one of us this morning, and that's it, and then we're going to close the service and we can hang out and have coffee and etc. But let's just stand and let's just ask now the Lord, I just thank you so much for your people, Lord. They're amazing. Thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us for a purpose. And Lord, thank you that everyone is significant. Thank you, Lord, that you're so passionate about each one of us. And Lord, we are also the body of Christ. We are your hands and we're your feet in this world. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you will begin to stir each one of us to become that person, that part in the body, to function as you intended us to. And Lord, I just pray that that you'll tear away any old habits or any old things that have stopped us stepping forward because of maybe what has been said before. I pray, Lord, that any words who said, oh, you can't do that, I just pray against that now in Jesus' precious name. Because in Jesus, everything is possible. And Lord, I just pray for a new word upon this church. I just pray a new hope, Lord, a new season. Thank you, Lord, the old is gone, the new has come. Thank you, Lord, that you want to lead us into the promised land. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us not to see the giants, but to see your great favor, Lord. And I just pray for everybody here, this and friends and family, Lord. I just pray this year for your protection upon our families, upon our friends. And Lord, I pray this church will be known as a place of joy and a place of great stories, God's stories. And so we just pray now for your anointing afresh upon us at this time, at this place, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's enjoy some coffee, some tea, some hanging out time. There'll be service tonight at 7 o'clock, so I look forward to seeing any of you who will be longer to that one. So this is officially the end of the service, so thank you. And if you need any extra...